1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. DJ Solon, Solar System, reporting for duty.
Now, where's my lighter for my sage stick?
I've already white saged, actually, the whole house.
I was saging in the bath the other night, and I would not recommend that because I leaned out of the bath, my sage stick, it went off. So I had a lighter, like an old school lighter, not one of the like ones on the stick, the pokey ones, like a proper cigarette lighter. Yeah. And I leaned over to light the sage and a piece of the sage fell off. But because my hand was wet, it stuck to my skin and burnt through my finger.
Oh,
so painful.
Oh dear. And here I was thinking you were the envy of everyone in the bath saging.
I know. Okay, hold on.
See ya.
Bringing up bath stories.
Well, yeah. Luckily, I'm going to be talking about a bath as soon as you come back. Oh, look at that. There's the book in the background. Good day to you, Soul Sisters. Hello and welcome to the podcast.
Love that, Claire. So enthusiastic.
Wasn't it? This season of Soul Sisters is brought to you by Colgate Max White Ultra, a toothpaste which delivers whitening results in just 3 days. Colgate Max White Ultra is unlike regular whitening toothpastes as it lifts deep stains beyond the enamel surface. Even better, it not only removes surface stains, but it prevents future stains too.
Colgate Max White Ultra helps people to embrace their individuality so they can have the power to shine and be true to themselves. Buy it now in Dunnes and available in all other major Irish retailers subject to availability. Hello, Claire.
Well done. Hello there, Georgie. How are you?
Did you see we got tagged in 2 people's Instagram stories this week who had bought Colgate Max White Ultra?
I did.
Saying hashtag influenced.
And it must be 3 days since that happened. So I can imagine they're out up and down the street and the neighborhood just showing off their teeth.
I know. Did you ever set out on this journey to become an influencer?
I probably didn't, actually, if I was honest. And I certainly didn't think it would happen with my teeth. But there you go.
So how are you? How is your week?
Well, I did. I must say now I was kind of spent most of my week watching your week. So why don't we start with your week?
I said on Thursday that I felt like I was on a pink cloud. Oh. And I haven't come down from it, Claire. I am just unbelievable. I released my book Glow this week. I had my launch party on Thursday in the Merrion, which was, and I said a few words, right?
I just want to say it was like something out of Hollywood. It looked so divine, and the dresses and the goon is on the girls. Honest to God, I'm kind of glad you didn't invite me because I wouldn't have had a dress suitable for the event.
Oh, you would have, and you would have glowed, Claire, if you were there. But I said a few little words. Now, I didn't want to get up and start like reading from my book or anything while people were there. So I just said like a tiny few words and I said, thank you so much to each and every one of you for showing up for me today. And I always think life is like a mirror and I'm so in awe of everybody in this room. So that if life is like a mirror, I'm doing pretty well. And I was like, I love you guys so much. Like they are my friends, you know, and have supported me in this industry for the last number of years. And it's meant so much. Now I do have another party on Wednesday for friends and family and all the kids, which I'm really excited about. So, but that was Thursday's launch. I feel like I'm on a cloud after it, but the feedback I've been getting. So over the last 2 weeks, I've kind of mentally prepared myself not to hear from people, right? Because they have to read the book before they give me feedback. But Claire, my DMs all weekend have been hopping. So I'm not one to toot my own horn.
Toot it. Go on.
But I'm going to read out this message because... because it just means so much to me, you know, when you put your heart and soul into something for like 8 months and sacrifice so much, you know, in my business. Like, I basically took 8 months off to write it. But this person said, Glow has just become one of my paper mothers. I don't even know what to say. Thank you seems too little. And I cried when I read that.
That's amazing. That is absolute. That, what a beautiful thing to say.
So Martha Beck, Oprah's life coach, describes her book, her books as her paper mothers. And she says when she's feeling a little bit low, that she reaches over to one of her paper mothers, opens it up on any page it falls on. And that's the message she was supposed to hear that day. Now, I did get this message yesterday that you'll get such a laugh out of, Claire. Where are my screenshots? So someone goes, hey, Georgie, congratulations on your book. I thought you'd like to hear this. I was at Mass this morning at a church in rural West Kerry. Did I say that right?
You did.
And the priest at the end of Mass quoted your book.
What?
He said he read your article in the Irish Examiner. So I print, there was an extract of my book in the Examiner on Saturday and was struck by your words. You must slow down to speed up and ask the congregation to try and remember that advice. Can you believe it?
I am speechless. A parish priest in rural West Kerry.
And the fact that someone was in the congregation that knew me and sent me a message afterwards. I was roaring laughing reading that message.
That is Father Ted-esque in its humanity. That is that. Oh, listen.
You must imagine if all those days when I was ordering grande cappuccinos with an extra shot, if you had told me that a priest in a church in Kerry would be quoting my book.
I
would prefer if it was Oprah, but, you know, we'll take what we can get.
First step, Kerry. Next step, Oprah Winfrey. Simple. Simple. Before you get to Oprah, you know, you have to get to the pulpit. Say your prayers.
Actually, I'm converting into a Protestant. Did I tell you that?
What?
I'm leaving the Catholic Church.
You can't leave the Catholic Church after getting feedback like that.
No, I'm going. So Jamie and Pia are Church of Ireland. So I want to be, and our local church, there's this reverend called Fred Appleby, and he really helped me in my recovery from cancer, and he used to call up to my house all the time and check on me when I was in chemotherapy. So I just feel like I want to be the same as the rest of my family. So it's happening. The reverend is coming to my house to do that. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
Do you know what we should do? We should do the conversion and then get Neil O'Murcu up with his drum and all get an ice bath afterwards, like the after party.
Including Reverend Appleby.
Yeah, we'll have to get him up now. He's retired, but we'll ask him to attend.
But he has to get in the ice bath as well.
Okay. So come here, how's your week? How's life and tooting?
Well, come on over here now. Toot your horn and tooting. So my mother, the matriarch, has spoken. And my mother said to me on a phone call this week, now, just leave Dave alone.
An intervention.
Yeah. Claire, just leave poor Dave alone.
Okay.
You won't get that picture.
Right.
And there's something just really grounding about hearing that from your mother, you know?
Yeah.
You can be up in the clouds doing the silly stuff. And then when it comes from the woman who birthed you, you just go right down to smack back down to earth with a bang.
So. Yeah. We appreciate the feedback, Eileen. We're going to move swiftly on.
But I do want to tell you something else that's happened. I'm bath in the game.
Bath in the game.
Yeah. My neighbour Kira and I had a cuppa during the week and we sat down. Two of us are single, so we had the most adorable little chat about fellas. She's plugged into the apps. So she's on Hinge. So she was telling me some of her stories. And I told her that I recently saw And I told her that I had seen Bus Stop Guy and I bottled it.
You saw Bus Stop Guy from season two.
Yeah.
So Bus Stop Guy was the guy you got on the bus with. And then I think you got on the train with him and you were just, I don't think you spoke to him, but you were just looking at him.
Just smile. And more importantly, he was smiling back at me.
So, okay, so you saw him again this week?
Yeah. Earlier this week, I was standing at the bus stop at the wee hours. And that's obviously when he gets the bus, in the wee hours every day. And I looked across and I saw him approaching and I was like, oh my God, I think that's Bus Stop Guy. And I swiftly turned my back and stuck my head in my phone.
Claire.
That's exactly what Kira said. And like, it's a bit late in the day for me to be doing that. You know? It's like, you can do that in your 20s, maybe even your early 30s. But if you were doing that in your early 40s, you may as well just go skip this chapter and go straight to the convent.
So, okay, so you get on the bus together and you just say nothing.
And so I sit down and then he stands up and he kind of glances back my direction. But I, at that stage, I feel like I've already put out the negative vibes. So I'm just looking out the window and then get into the tube station. And this is the worst bit. He went right and I went left. And I felt like that was it. I felt like this, the sliding doors moment was, it's not Bus Stop Guy.
Because I was reading about Feng Shui this week and it said that if you're looking for a romantic partner, you need to make space like in your apartment and in your life for a romantic relationship. So you know the way, do you ever hear on Joanne McNally's podcast with Vogue? Vogue's always slagging her, saying when she's in bed, she sleeps like beside a suitcase and a laptop and there's no way that you'd fit anyone else in there.
Yes.
So when you're in bed, is your bed like completely free?
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's step one. So in my imagination and in my bedroom, there is room for a man. Unfortunately, real life is different.
Now, let's talk about your living room, because I also heard about... this person had written in and said that they had a couch, right, in their living room, but they didn't have another chair for someone to sit on, like kind of facing the couch. And when they made the space for somebody else to sit there, that they got a partner.
By putting a chair in their living room.
Yes. So there you go. Get another chair, because I know you have just one little couch, right?
Yeah. And I do have a chair beside the TV looking back at the couch.
Okay, well, you need to bring the chair in closer.
Okay, right. Okay. So the good thing to come from this week is no Bus Stop Guy, but back in the bathtub. Kira commiserated over Bus Stop Guy and told me that I am welcome to come back in next door and use the bath at any time.
Oh, lovely. And how does she know that did you tell her the story about the bath originally?
She was showing me around the place because all of Matt and Imo's stuff is gone. And she was like, she showed me into one of the bedrooms that is completely empty now. She's like, look at the size of it with all of the stuff gone. And I walked past the bathroom and I was like, oh, look at that lovely bath. She's like,
but she could not but invite you in at this point.
She's like, yeah, I love the bath. Yeah, I love. I was like, oh yeah. She goes, you know, you're welcome to come in here anytime and have a bath. And I thought, da, 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 who needs a fella when you got a bathtub?
I'm so happy for you.
Thanks. Now I do, life coaching 101, right, is to find a person you admire or who's living the life you want to live and contact them and find out how they made it happen. Okay, that's the first piece of advice I received when I started life coaching years ago. And so I still live this same practice. And Sarah Shannon, friend of the show, Sarah Shannon Yoga on Instagram, is living in Portugal, having decided 2 years ago that she was sick of corporate law in Dublin and that she wanted to go to Portugal and live beach life, van life, you know, yoga life. Now, to me, that's one of the scariest things you can do. But Sarah has made it happen for her. And not only has she made life happen over in Portugal, she's running retreats, she's teaching yoga, she met the man of her dreams. Recently, she put up a post on Instagram that was some images of her manifestation. So she had a screenshot which said 1111 on it, which is the angel numbers. So she also had a picture of her and Paul, her fella. So I decided to get in touch with her and I was like, right, I feel like I need you to tell me how I can manifest the man of my dreams. And boy, oh boy, did she deliver. She sent me back a voice note, which I'm going to share with you now. And there's three steps to manifesting anything you want or the man of your dreams. Step one.
So, where to begin? First of all, it took a lot of pain and, you know, why can't I meet somebody that is worthy? I took a bit of time alone to work out what exactly I wanted and what I wanted to attract in. And I just worked out that I needed to be that person. You know, if I was looking for an adventure person, why not become it myself? And if I wanted to, you know, have someone who was into camping and hiking, go and do it myself. So I became the person I wanted to attract.
Oh, wow. Love that. Isn't that so good?
It's so good. And, you know, Jerry met Miriam at a retreat and he said, if I was going out into bars, I was never going to meet the person that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with because I don't like being in bars.
Bingo. So become the person you want to attract. Step two.
You know, when you feel just ready, you're like, yeah, I'm in a good place. I know what I want. I started to really feel like I could sense he was on his way. And I just got myself into that feeling of, wow, this is so exciting. And started to prepare, like, you know, things around me were like just reminding me of that exciting thing that's about to happen. And my home, like, you know, there's this book called Calling in the One, and she talks about setting a table place for two people when you sit down. No, I didn't go that far, but I did when I was buying stuff for my apartment. You know, I bought two nice mugs if I saw them, two wine glasses. And when I was rearranging the place, like just making space for somebody else in my life.
Sorry, is that not so weird that I just said that?
So weird you just said that.
Wow.
So as you say, bring an extra chair into the living room, make space in the wardrobe, buy two of those cups you love. Step three.
And then I got really excited, like feeling ready, knowing what I wanted. And then it was just to be in that energy all the time, as much as I could. So things like that screensaver, you know, would make me feel excited every time I'd look at it. Or I'd have a Pinterest board full of pictures of like what our relationship is going to feel and look like. And, you know, if I was ever kind of knocked off course from various different ways that life can do that, I would come back home and have a look at that Pinterest board and get all excited, put on music that would remind me of this relationship.
God, I love Sarah Shannon so much.
Isn't that like, so get into the feeling, like feel what it will be like to know that that thing that you want or that person you want to attract into your life is in. He or she is there and they are working away and you're going to see them later for a drink, or you're going to spend the night with them, or you're going to get that house you've always wanted, or you're going to get that job you've been looking for. And like, just give your, like a bit like you this week and how good you feel having released your book into the world. Like, bottle that feeling and allow it to settle in yourself, and then have little triggers that will bring you back to it. Like a good song, or if your favorite meal, or whatever you need to do, light a candle, a smell. Stay in that positive energy. That is the only thing you need to do to manifest what you want. Do not stray into the negative side of things, because mm-hmm. that will take you out of the vortex, as Abraham Hicks says.
Yeah.
Stay in the positive.
And I think that's how I felt in the week leading up to my book. Like, I wasn't thinking about numbers. I wasn't thinking about sales. All I was thinking about was the person who I wrote it for holding my book in their hand. Wow. That's all that matters. If that's one person, or if that's 1,000 people, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, doesn't matter. And actually, for the people who are in relationships and are listening to Sarah Shannon there, and they might have another dream, like starting their own business, or, you know, just starting something new. I know that when I was manifesting my own business, I created a website. Before I was ready to publish it or put it out into the world, I was actively working on my business behind the scenes. So building my website every day, picking the colors, picking the name. And then when I was ready, I made it public for the world. But yeah, it's like cultivating the feeling that you're trying to create. So if it is your own business, actively just taking little steps and working on that every single day. And therefore, you're getting ready for when it's the right time.
So good. And then there's just one final bit of Sarah that I'd love to play, because it's like the cherry on top.
So that kind of sums it up. Could talk for hours about it. Excuse all the noise in the background. I'm on a camper trip with that love, and there was lots of camper van pictures on the Pinterest board, vision boards. So it's just magic, and it really, really works. And all of the qualities that I was listing and looking for manifested in myself, in our relationship, and in him.
That was brilliant. I loved that. So when I was talking to the manifesting queen, Roxy Nafisi, last week, I asked her about vision boards. And she said, you know, vision board can be anything, but a lot of people feel like it needs to be this like picture board. But actually, her vision boards are lists. So she writes down her list so specific. She said it's not even for anyone else to see. So when you write out your list of what you want, put it away. So she wrote down like, she wants to be on Jay Shetty's podcast. This is the amount of money she wants to make. This is the amount of countries she wants her book to feature in. How many, you know, languages she wants it to be in. And you get so, so specific. And it's such a personal thing that you kind of don't want anyone to read it, right? And that's fine. So you write out your list, put it away, and then let the universe take you on the trip.
I just got really excited about writing a specific list.
Yeah, do it today.
I will. Colgate Max White Ultra is a toothpaste with clinically proven unique technology that actually does whiten your teeth in just 3 days, and it's safe for your enamel. In a recent Colgate survey of 2,000 people, almost a third said a lack of confidence in their smile is holding them back. So this week, Georgie, was probably one of the biggest weeks of your life. Did you feel confident in your smile?
I had full confidence in my smile this week, Claire. And Audrey, my bestie, rang me on the way out of the Merrion and said that she had a conversation with one of the girls that was at the launch and said, Georgie just smiles from ear to ear. Absolutely. Just so happy on Thursday. And in the lead up to my book launch, I was thinking about what am I going to do about my teeth, because, you know, I need to be glowing. So Colgate Max White Ultra, I went on the 3-day journey. It actually works. In all the pictures, my teeth are so white, and I didn't have to suffer to get white teeth. All I had to do, brush my teeth twice a day with the toothpaste, and voila, it lifted all the surface stains and I have white teeth.
Ding, ding, ding. You're as pretty as the picture, I must say.
So I thank you to Colgate Max White Ultra for giving me so much confidence in my smile this week. You can pick yours up in Dunn's and available in all other major Irish retailers. Do you remember this song? May is the month of Mary, month we all love so well. Do you know that song?
How could you leave us with songs like that?
I know, I will miss it.
With bangers like that. I do, of course, remember it.
I'm getting a little aubergine feeling. And I was like, wait a minute. Has it been a year since the aubergines? So just real quickly, it is May and I'm going to tell you what's in season this month. And yes, indeed, aubergines are back in season. We've got cauliflower, peppers, cucumber, tomatoes, lettuce, asparagus and radish.
I am eating most of those, aside from the peppers. I don't eat too much. And the radishes. What would you add a radish to now? If you
don't... A salad.
Okay.
Now, the reason that I'm thinking about food so much over the last couple of weeks is because I've been spending a lot of time in my kitchen, Claire. And I've realized that I have a 7-year itch in my house.
Uh-oh.
I found out that... Now, I've discovered that... And I don't know if it's because we're having a baby, because I think when you have a baby, like you're nesting and stuff, right? Because you're preparing to spend a winter at home with a new baba. But my house is driving me mad.
Really?
Because when we moved in 7 years ago, I painted it grey.
Oh.
And the grey life is not for me anymore.
Nah, it's not you.
So I went up to Marissa Carter's house. I did a podcast with her last season. If you are looking for an opportunity or a way to distance yourself from what you do, your self-worth, listen to that podcast. It's amazing. But I went up to her house. She's a neighbor of mine. And I went into her house and, oh my God, Claire, it's like a sanctuary.
Oh.
And as I was looking up my few feng shui bits during the week, this is where I'm getting my inspiration. So they're saying that you need to bring plants, living plants into your house for soothing and boosting our moods. So when I walked into Marissa's house, it's just everywhere you turn, there's a living plant. It's like the outdoors are inside.
Oh, lovely.
So I have... gotten a bit of inspiration from her and it's time. The grey needs to go.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say maybe you'd paint it the same colour as the book. Pink.
So that's what I wanted to create in my living room is just more of a kind of peaceful, because I feel like I'm such an outdoorsy person now and I wasn't 7 years ago. So I feel like my house doesn't reflect my personality anymore.
Very good. If I was to have a look on Marissa Carter's Instagram, would I see inside her house?
Not so much inside. Like she'd put up little pictures of her plants, but she has her garden. She spends an hour in her garden every single day.
Wow.
You want to see her garden. It's fab. But she loves the outdoors so much she brought it inside. And that inspired me. I need to do that too. Like I live basically in the countryside and the inside of my house doesn't look like the outside.
Okay. I'm inspired. When's this starting?
That's a good question. Now I'm doing Going for Growth. This amazing course on how to grow your business. And Una O'Hagan from Mars Pharmacy is my mentor. And if I was telling her now that I was taking on a home project willy-nilly, the way I tell you, she would tell me I need to write it down. I need to make a plan. So I definitely need to write out like times and days that I'm going to actively work on this project.
Yes. So that is the accountability piece. Put it in your diary. I like that actually. That's something that I've done on and off in the last year. It's just put in an hour as a meeting, and then within the meeting says, deal with your life admin, pay your taxes, you know.
Are our homes keeping us stuck? Because I am not the person I was 7 years ago. I have evolved, but my home is a reflection on who I used to be.
And I was actually looking around at pieces of furniture that I have inherited from my previous house share that no longer serve me and are probably carrying energy that belongs to somebody else and it shouldn't be in my space.
And even not even to have to go out and buy new things, but can you do a little DIY project on the stuff you have?
Yeah, I could actually. Yeah.
Do you know what I think you should do? You should get a chair You know the way we're talking about getting a chair, or you have a chair, mm-hmm. but like zhuzh up the chair. What does the chair look like?
Yeah, it totally needs a zhuzh.
Like, is that the chair you want your man sitting on?
No.
You need to get a chair that you want your man to sit on, Claire. Give us a look at it. What does it look like?
Okay. Oh, there goes the cushion. Okay. I'll put this up on Instagram, Soul Sisters, so you can see it.
Okay, give us a look.
Full of stuff as well. Full of stuff on it.
Give us. Let's see, is it? Let's see it. Claire, you can't put a man on that chair. You can't put a hunk of a man on a wicker chair with the flowery cushion. The chair.
Right, that's going. That's going down to the local charity shop. That's going.
Is it really?
That's going. That's going. I don't need to be. I am great at taking directions. You have told me that that's not suitable for my man. Well, then, poof, and it's gone. Poof, and the dirt is gone. Yeah, chair's gone. That's it. It's out of here.
So what, like, would you now have to march down the road with that chair? Like, where do you put it to dispose of it?
I'll just rent a zip car, put it in the back, drive around to the charity shop. I know them well. And I'll say, guys, guess what I got for you? I do honestly think somebody who is quite crafty would enjoy resurrecting that chair.
Well, maybe that's what you should do.
No, that's not me.
Okay, geez, you've made that decision very quickly. I hope I haven't offended you.
Not at all. But I'm not someone who, I need to spend my lunchtimes doing things that aren't crafty.
Mm. You know. What sort of chair would you imagine your man to sit on?
So do you know, okay, I know exactly the kind of chair. They are, you know, those kind of statement colour chairs that you see people have in their homes. So they have quite a neutral lounge, and then they have a statement like pink, green, orange, yellow chair.
Yes.
That's the look I'm going for.
Okay, brilliant. This is so exciting.
Wait until the day that I take the picture with the fella in the chair. Will you believe it? Jesus. Oh, listen. At the beginning of this series, I said to our soul sisters out there, if you have any topics that you'd like us to talk about, just drop me a DM, guys. Grace said, I just wanted to pop by and say, I'm really happy Soul Sisters is back. I've missed you both. We've missed you too, Grace. A topic I'd be interested in hearing more on is the booze, the friendly booze. I go through alcohol-free phases and have a much more mindful relationship with alcohol than years prior. But I would love to hear your guys' take on having a drink or two and not feeling all the guilt, or tips to break the habit. Now, conveniently, last week I said a bit of homework, which was to listen to We Can Do Hard Things with Glennon Doyle and Cheryl Strayed, who was a recent guest on the show. Did you have a listen? Did you do your homework?
I did, because you reminded me. Thank you.
Yes, I did remind you.
Or warned me.
Yes, exactly. Don't come into my classroom without your homework done. I listen to podcasts all the time, but I must say this is one of the podcasts that I would put as like probably my top 10 episodes I've ever listened to, because every time I listen, there's something different in there. Cheryl Strayed wrote Wild, and she's also written a book called Tiny Beautiful Things. Now, in this episode, she talks about being Dear Sugar. So Dear Sugar is an advice column where she gives people help around life and love. So that was the reason she came on this podcast. But actually, when she jumped on first with Glennon and co, she started talking about her journey with alcohol. So Grace, this is why I thought I would combine your DM with this episode. Cheryl Strayed talks about drinking alcohol, and she talked about having a realization around alcohol that she was having a drink every night when she was making her dinner, and it had become a habit, and she had gotten used to probably just feeling a bit foggy, little bit of a hangover, you know, just all those things that alcohol does. And when she got very sick with COVID on holiday in Corfu, she had a wake-up call. And she was very sick on her own in an Airbnb for a week. And when she emerged from the illness and from the Airbnb after a week, she sat outside her apartment and she wrote a letter to herself, her present self. And in that letter, she talked about the things that she's been ignoring and the things that she could do better in life. And one of them was to take a break from alcohol. And so she's done that and she's felt the better of it. In the conversation, they talked about taking the edge off. And like most of us know that that's the reason we might have a glass of wine after a stressful day or a stressful occurrence in our life. But the problem is, if you take the edge off, which is the discomfort, that is what helps you to change your life. Being in that discomfort is the impetus that leads you to a better version of yourself. So if you're numbing that,
there's no growth.
So Glennon said something really, really big at the end. And I was like, ha, 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 that's huge. We all know what's best for us deep down. So when Cheryl Strayed writes her column, Dear Sugar, she doesn't tell people what to do because she says in a very nice way, you already know what the right thing is for you.
And I'll link that podcast in the episode show notes.
Do. Okay, great. Recommends?
Recommends. So this week I wanted to recommend somebody who I met last week. I was hosting the Sisterhood series in Dundrum Town Centre, and it was so fab because I got to have all of these amazing conversations that I wouldn't usually have. And on the Saturday, the conversation was around awkward parenting, conversations about periods, sex, consent, all of these important things that we should be talking to our kids about, but we often avoid because we might say, oh, they'll learn it in school, or maybe they'll talk to their friends about it. Anyway, do you follow Sarah Spruill?
No, I don't.
Oh, you'd love her, Claire. So that's my recommends this week. Go find Sarah Spruill. Her name is I Am Sarah Spruill on Instagram. And she is so wise. If you have kids any age, she's got advice on what conversations you should be having with 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, teenagers, and at what stage you should be bringing certain topics into their life. I found her so fascinating. She's a wealth of knowledge and is doing really important work for parents in how they communicate with their kids. So she even said, like, for so many parents, like, we wait till our kids come to us, you know, to talk about periods or to talk about sex, whereas we should be bringing it up with them because most likely they're not going to bring it up first. That was a real aha moment for me. And I think for a lot of people sitting in the audience. So go find Sarah Spruill, give her a follow. And I swear she will only bring knowledge and amazing advice to your life.
Love that. And I love the idea of normalizing stuff and conversations around the household.
Mm-hmm. So over to you.
Over to me and over to Matthew McConaughey. Soul Sisters, did you do The Art of Living? It was Monday the 24th and it was a first from Matthew McConaughey, who we know from Hollywood, but we've never seen him in this guise, which is thought leader and
life coach.
Life coach, exactly. So, you know, being McConaughey, he was able to call the big guns in, and he called in people like Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, and a guy called Trent Shelton. Now, Trent Shelton, I bet your husband knows, because he used to be an NFL player and he played for the Seattle Seahawks and two other teams that I can't remember.
Why do NFL people always shout? It's like for 6 months of the year on Sunday nights, it's just shouting. even when they're doing the bit like after the match, just all shouting.
And I must say, watching Trent Shelton speak, he still has that kind of delivery, that NFL delivery. But some of the stuff he said was so powerful. So I just want to read you some of the things he's, because I was like scribbling it down, pausing it, scribbling it down. So small mindsets cannot comprehend big visions. Okay. So if the people around you and the people closest to you don't get you, or don't get your dreams, like if you say to them, this is my dream, parents or family, and they all look at you blankly, don't worry, just not the right audience. Okay. Don't give up on your dream. Just move out of the lounge and go journal somewhere alone. They are too close to us to see our potential greatness. He used a really good anecdote to illustrate this point. He said prescription glasses. All right. If you gave me your prescription glasses, I'd be like, I can't see. I can't see. That's it. I can't see through your glasses because that's your vision. That's your dream. And you couldn't see through mine. So don't try.
Love. Is this the NFL guy saying all this?
Yeah. And the other thing that I loved from him was, what is your perspective? Is it your prison or is it your power?
That's good. That's very good.
That's very good. So the good thing about this is you can see, you missed The Art of Living, but don't worry. You can catch it on the YouTube, guys. It's on there. Just look it up and we'll link it also in the show notes. But that's my recommendation. 6 hours long, so you can scroll through to the bits.
Oh, lovely. 6 hours.
Just a little 6 hours. But Trent Shelton, Tony Robbins and McConaughey are worth watching.
If I find 6 hours in my week, I know what I'll be doing. But you know what? You can just watch 1 hour at a time, right?
Exactly. It's available forever.
Super.
So I mentioned at the top of the episode, I haven't got my copy of Glow yet. Obviously, the Royal Mail are reading it in the depot. but because everybody else has it and I haven't, I'd love just, could you give us, just give me a little, just leave me with something. So I'm gonna ask you for a page number and then you read what's on it.
Go on, give us a number.
I'm trying to think of a number. Okay. How many pages are there?
238.
Okay, so I'm going to go. Okay, first thing that's popped into my mind, 150.
150. Ooh. Okay. When you invest in yourself, it not only changes you, but it changes the world you live in. What if for all of those years in spin, I'd become less worried about the external and cared more about what was going on inside of me? What if I had have kept something for myself at the end of every day? If I had have taken the time to check in with myself every morning or helped myself in some way? I gave so much of myself to my job and the people around me that I had absolutely nothing left for myself. How did I expect to thrive and not even thrive? How did I expect to survive?
Whoa.
So there you have it.
That's
page 150.
That's landed. That landed for me.
Okay, good.
And Soul Sisters, if that landed for you, just do a little appraisal of how each day goes. You won't regret it.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, you gave me homework last week, Claire. Your homework is to go and get a chair.
I thought you were going to say, go get the book. Yes. Okay, I'm going to go. Actually, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose. How about this? You can help me choose. I'm going to choose, get on Pinterest and find a load of chairs that I like the look of. And then we can pick it.
Okay, sounds good.
Great.
Okay, how can we get in touch with you? Are you still taking clients, Claire? Are you booked out?
I have had so many Soul Sisters coming for coaching and there's still room. There's still room and there's still time. So if you want to come and have some coaching with me, claire@seekersandspeakers.com.
And if you'd like to order my book, I'll leave a link in the episode show notes. And if you order through the Easton's website, you get free delivery. So thank you so much for all the feedback, all the support. I swear to God, this has been a dream come true in my life and a week I will never, ever forget. It was a 5-star moment for me and I'm so grateful to everyone for all the messages and support.